Welcome to the Hunting for Purpose podcast, the official podcast home for all human design manifestors. I'm your host, Holly Marie, a 4-6 splenic manifester, a certified human design teacher, and a manifester who is following her own creative urge to facilitate a thriving global community of aligned, powerful manifestors. Wherever you are at in your manifestor journey, or even if you are here just because you love a manifestor and you want to understand them a little bit more, this podcast is the place for you. Stick around for in-depth teaching, for real-life practical tips and understandings of the manifestor journey and how to become aligned and powerful and thriving as a manifestor. You are here for global impact. You are here to change the world. The time is now. The journey is yours. This podcast is your home.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Hunting for Purpose podcast. Of course, that's where you've tuned into. I'm pretty excited to be recording another guest podcast episode. It's always nice, I think, as a content creator, to every now and then record things with other people, because it makes me remember, like, it's not just me alone in my house, in my lounge room, in my car. Like, I'm engaging with other people around the world. And this guest today, you may or may not remember her from an episode that we did with her. It was now 2 years ago, incredibly. Felt like a lot sooner than that, but it was April 2022 that we spoke with this beautiful woman. But you certainly would have seen her content online, because she is everywhere talking to everyone. Today we are catching up with the incredible content creator, Anna Prez. Welcome to the podcast, Anna.
I am very much enjoying getting to revisit, like, with people that I've podcasted with before. Just so nice to not come in like, hello, I'm Anna.
Like the awkwardness of meeting somebody for the first time when you're podcast guesting. Yeah. And you have to pretend to be super friendly and, like, engaged. Yeah. And
right.
Yeah. I resonate with that. So you are, of course, the voice behind sort of the iconic statements. We've got Keep It Up, Cutie, and It's Called Manifesting, Look It Up, which are sort of the catchphrases that are really responsible for your massive social media. Your dog? I love that.
Apparently.
Mine's asleep next to me. All dog sounds are welcome on this podcast.
Sorry, there's somebody at my door.
Oh, exciting.
This is all very unexpected today.
It's not what we were intending to do.
No, well, I'm laughing because I normally, my husband would have the dogs when I'm doing a podcast, but because you live in tomorrow, you know.
I do. I live in tomorrow. Yes.
I've got creatures everywhere.
Hello, doggies. Hello. I love that. They are welcome.
So I apologize for them. They're kind of rascals. I have treats totally with me. I'm prepared to throw them.
Every now and then we'll see, like, Anna throw something over her shoulder. You, be quiet in the background.
Okay, I'm sorry. Back to business.
We are on point. So when we spoke to you 2 years ago, if I remember correctly, we were the first podcast that you'd ever
Yes.
on. Is that right?
My very first.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's a pretty cool cycle, I think, to revisit.
And I must have been very prepared, because I listened back to it and I was like, that girl was prepared.
She was on it. Today is going to be just as good.
Did her homework. Obviously.
So in the 2 years since we've spoken to you, you have done a lot. You have done so much.
Yeah,
you've been
apparently
touring. Yeah, you've been touring and doing stage shows nationally. And more importantly, or equally as importantly, you've now written and released a book, which is coming out. At the time of recording, it's coming out in a couple of days. But by the time we release this episode, it'll be fresh out into the world. Yeah.
Yes.
The book is called Keep It Up, Cutie. Of course. Yes. That's what it's called.
I think I will milk Keep It Up, Cutie, for as long as the world will let me.
Where did that even come from? Where did Keep It Up, Cutie come from?
I was in my, it was one of the videos where I was in my car. And I think this is before I was writing my, like, I think I was just on the fly. And I had said something about existence being a whole life. Like, that's enough. That's it. That's enough. And then I said Keep It Up, Cutie, not in the way that I say it now, even. It was like, Keep It Up. I don't even remember, but it did. I've listened to it back since, and I was like, that doesn't even sound like me. And everybody commented, like, oh my God, I really loved it when you said Keep It Up, Cutie. And so then I just like kept slipping it into the end of every video. And that's also the name of my tour and the name of my book. And yeah, it's probably my top selling merch as well.
Keep It Up, Cutie. Everybody loves a catchphrase. Everybody loves a catchphrase.
So true.
How did that all like build out for you? I think that like when we look at, especially like big content creators online, we're like, oh, that's so strategic. Like, look how clever they've been, working with the algorithm. And I love you because you're so normalized.
I don't know anything.
How did that all go from, hey, I started saying some things that people enjoyed, to like, now I can turn this into something meaningful? Like, what's actually the story underneath for you of what it all means for you?
Everything I do is for me, right? The person I'm talking to is me, which actually changes a lot of the content, because you're not perceiving, like, the viewer's not perceiving it as me talking to myself. They are perceiving it as me talking to them, which I am. It's a great bonus. But the things I'm saying are, I'm just talking to myself, and the person whose life has changed is mine. And that it's just the little things I'm learning every day, or I hear something I really like, and then I'll write a whole, bubble around it. And just little lines here and there, or I'll say something and it'll crack me up. Like, something that I say will crack me up, and I'll write it down really fast. Like, ooh, that was funny. But what it is, it's a journey of deconstruction. I mean, it's letting go of everything I ever thought I knew and moving into this new space, scared shitless, but but I am doing it. I'm doing my whole life terrified at this point. But no, I don't have a strategy, unfortunately. I even looked today. I had seen someone who had a really aesthetic feed, because a lot of people have just very aesthetic feeds. And I looked at mine and I go, oh, it looks like a toddler's feed, but I think for me, my brand is authenticity. My mood is authenticity. My life is very authentic. I don't have to fake it, because I never have. I never gave anybody any other perception of me to take and run with. And I'm so lucky that I didn't, because it would be very hard to keep up any sort of a, not a lie, but just any sort of, I don't do skits. I don't do, I'm just talking about life, and I am just talking about learning and growing and changing. And sometimes that growth is backwards, and I always, moving backwards is still moving. Letting myself do the things that I've always wanted to do as a kid, and just being silly, and having that, having that feed that looks like a toddler made it, and having a book come out that is colorful and chaotic and cutesy, and little cartoon drawings of me. And, the whole thing is me. I don't really have like a plan or a strategy. I'm just existing as myself, and I can't believe the things that have come from people enjoying observing me.
So you're strange. Really lucky. my gosh.
What? Yeah. Yeah. And it's sometimes I'll feel a little like guilty because while I never planned for any of this, I think that I always thought there was something there. Because I remember even when I was 19 and I was in rehab and I was thinking, I could really tell people about this. Like, I had thought, I was like, I could be a speaker. Like, I could talk on this because nobody had ever spoken to me about the things I was going through. And I mean, then I just sort of dropped it and never thought about it again. but I did have those thoughts that, like, I might have something. And then I kind of just resolved to be a woman with a job who worked too much.
Like everybody else.
Yeah, I wanted to be like everybody else. I gave up on that, like doing something unique. I was like, no, I'm gonna sit at my desk and rot.
Yeah,
I think that's gonna be fun.
What an existence. Yeah, I think one of the things that I love that you advocate about so much, and there's a lot, I think that there's this beautiful flavor of like, let's address mental health and mental wellness and self-love without that having to be a serious thing. Let's just be sort of messy and open and real about it. But one of the real sort of tones of the content that you create that I adore is this messaging of just stop trying to keep up. You don't have to keep up.
Yeah, which is funny because keep it up, it's keeping up with breathing. It's keeping up with being alive. You know, for me, baseline, I'm like, I don't need anything from anybody. I need you to be here. That's it. Mm. Like, my requirement for a human to have my respect is to not be a shitty person and also to be here. But and that's for me too. I hate when people tell me what to do, and I hate when people give me advice. And I think it's very funny that I wrote a self-help book because I feel very attacked by self-help books. But I'm hoping, like, my content is for so many people who are like me, who really don't, you just don't want help, but you may need it. I'd love to package it in a beautiful pink, sparkly, messy haired bow.
Right, let's make a self-help book, but a picture book with colors.
Yeah,
and
exactly. It's like, yeah. And I think I'm so nervous. I'm so nervous about how it's going to be perceived. Mm. And I know what I should be is like so excited about this book launch. And instead I'm like, please don't make fun of me. Please don't make fun of me. But I'm hoping in the same way that I don't necessarily see why my content is so popular, I'm hoping that the book has this, because it does have the exact same feel. It's very different to look at it visually though. It's pink and bubble letters and cartoons. And yeah, but then, you know, hidden in there are the messages. And it's what I've been doing this entire time. It's hiding messages while I scream at you.
And make people laugh, right? About the messiness of the human experience.
Yeah, I would say too, the thing about it is that the content's not funny. It's the delivery that's funny. And that's why the book had to be so colorful, because I didn't want people to know that the content's not funny. It's like, you might read it and be like, oh, this is very sad. It's like, no,
this is actually quite pink. Meaningful.
But it's pink, so you see, it's okay. Yeah.
Especially in like the personal development, self-help, spirituality spaces, we are so entrenched in seriousness. Like, we are just so caught down with this, like, I have to educate myself and I have to be insightful and I have to be mindful and I have to be self-aware and I have to be like, every part of my life has to be working towards perfection. And the sad thing about that is all of it comes from the fundamental belief that I am broken, that I'm not whole, that I'm not okay. And so I need to get really serious and really focused about becoming
better. And journal for an hour a day and meditate for an hour a day and sit and read my books. And it's like, oh, you can just like relax. Don't
There's
know how.
Some levity. Ways to relax. You're right.
Don't have any advice on how to relax. That's we're working on that one. But that's the next book. When I figure out how to relax, I will tell the world.
I will teach you. I will bring it to you. And I just think we need more voices that are real. Like, hey, it's hard being a human.
It's hard.
It's hard trying to be a good person.
Yes. And it's, and yeah, what am I, I'm bringing, I'm making self-help approachable and fun and bringing back childlike wonder to, not that it was ever there. Maybe I'm introducing childlike wonder to personal development.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's so exhausting and it's so tiring to work on yourself. And I not that you should stop working on yourself, but sometimes you really just need a rest and you just really need to be where you are and sit in it and take a break from personal development almost.
Yeah.
Like I was just on a trip with she's like a blogger. And she asked if she could, you know, sit down and do some life coaching with me and try to help me slow my life down. And I said, I am not working on myself right now. I said, I'm just not working on myself right now because I'm really too tired. Like and I think that's something nobody really kind of talks about, is that it's okay sometimes to stay right where you are. And just kind of hold on until you all you have to be is here. I think, I mean, that's kind of become my message more than anything. But yeah, I was like, no, I'm so exhausted and I'm taking a little break from growth.
I love that.
I'm taking a minute to sit and stare at the wall and, you know, just regroup because it is when we talk about personal growth and healing, and it's so exhausting. Great, amazing, changes your life, but it doesn't have to be fast. It doesn't have to happen overnight. You know, you can learn one thing at a time. Slow down a minute. I say all this and then people are like, aren't you going on tour and you're releasing a book and you still work full time and you're hosting a party next week? And I'm like, yeah, but see, but my mind is calm. If you just don't, I really think, and this is when I say nothing's really changed in my life except my mindset, and I still really, it's true. But I almost live too much in the moment. I thought of that recently. I said, I am hardly ever looking to the future anymore because I'm so focused on surviving the day. And honestly, I'm much less stressed. I don't know if that's good advice. I don't know.
Nobody plan for the future. Give it up. Just be fully in the present. I mean, but the reality is that's actually all we're ever in anyway. All we're ever in is what I am experiencing right now. So we can put structures in place and schedules and intentions and goals and maps and all of those things that are helpful structures for us to lean into, but they're not real until you're in them.
And a lot of that preparing for the future and thinking about the future is just worrying and being anxious and, like, you know, setting up expectations. And a thing that I've always struggled with so much is change in any way, but change of what I'm expecting to happen is very hard for me. And as long as I just have, in a way where I'm still a responsible human adult, I have a lot less worry about things that aren't here yet. Except for that I'm worried people won't like the book. That's separate.
I'm holding on to that worry. I'm keeping that one.
I'm holding on to that one. I've been holding on to that one since the first time I saw the book. And I said, oh, it's so cute. It's so me. It feels like opening my head and looking into it. But that's scary to sell to someone and say, take a look inside my head and tell me you hate it.
Yeah. I, having also published a book, I think that that is such a little like misnomer about book publishing, right? That I think it's awesome to have this like tangible physical product in this digital age where everything is so fleeting and passing and not tangible. Creating a book is solid. It's an actual product, and that feels incredible. Like, oh my God, it's a thing, like an actual, it's a thing that like people are going to hold in their hands and put in their houses and put beside their bed and have on bookshelves and like read at parks. And that's awesome. But at the same time, a book is this incredibly exposing thing to do.
Yeah, because it's
exactly what you said. Like, you're in my head now.
It's everything that I went through, experienced, and learned for 2 years. And that's so much to hand somebody. Like,
yeah,
here you go. Even though it's only... And
pass your judgment on it. Is it okay? am I okay?
I have shown it to one person. And they've said that it was great. I mean, and all the publishers have seen it, but maybe it's their job to gas me up.
I don't know. Well, time will tell. No. I'm certain it's going to be amazing. On our side of the camp here, I don't know if you remember from our last podcast, but what we talk about is human design.
And I'm a language. Projector.
You are a projector, a beautiful projector. And I have, over all of these years, really, really just enjoyed being a weird creeper observer of you as a person who doesn't dive into human design, doesn't speak the human design language, like not in that field at all. But you are such a projector. Like, you are so real for that.
I love that.
And projectors, like manifestors, which is what I am, we're non-sacral. So like, we've got 70% of the world that are these sacral beings who are these people that can keep up, right? They're the ones who are like productive and consistent and creative and engaged and responsive. And like, that's why so many people in the world, even if they're in things like jobs that they hate or relationships that they're not fully satisfied in, they can stay, they can stick it out, they can just keep doing it because they have that resource within their body to just push through. When they stop doing it in unhealthy, fucked up ways, life gets better for them. But the point I'm making is they have the ability to just consistently keep showing up. And there are 30% of us who are non-sacrals, and we can't. We just physically can't match that. And it's so interesting to see like other non-sacrals, like projectors and manifestors and reflectors for the listeners, like reaching this point where you're just so tired of pretending that you can do what everybody else does, right?
Yeah.
And then just finally starting to advocate for, fuck it, I'm going to do it differently.
Yeah.
I'm out of the race. I'm not even playing the game anymore. I'm doing things at my own speed, in my own way, with my own agenda, because I've always known that I was different. Does that resonate for you?
Yeah. It doesn't mean it makes people happy, but it is the way it is, you know? Oh, yeah. Yes. And I'm very curious, like, human design-wise, what my father is.
Oh, yeah.
I would be really interested to know, because I think I'm a lot like him in that way, in the like, I just can't do it the way other people do it. And why he's always been an entrepreneur and always, you know, because he's like, well, I can't do that. I can't do it like they want me to do it. And I have a very hard time. I think even now, when someone will be like, oh, well, you could leave your job and go back to it. And I'm like, oh, if I let myself out of the box, I'm never getting back. You're never going to squeeze me back in it.
Like, that dress is never going back on my body. You
yeah,
understand
so
that,
it's
right?
Like, yeah, it's like, oh, well, you could go back to that. And I'm like, nope. I've kind of set myself up to need the life I have. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the thing. Like, it's to exit yourself from the rest of the world, it's actually a process. I think very, very few people have the privilege to be able to say, man, that's it. Like, I'm done. I'm not going to work anymore. I'm just going to be me, just going to be in my own energy, and I'll just wing it. Like, things like financial security and stability, and they're all incredibly important, real things. And I think when we look at people like you and a lot of other really beautiful content creators who have things like really big followings, we go, well, that's, you've succeeded. There's
well,
a lot more to it than
it's
that.
It's so funny. You're like, at what? What did I succeed at? At getting a bunch of followers, which is like such a new thing. We don't even know what it really means. And we don't know what it means in 10 years because it hasn't even been around. Well, it has actually. Oh, that's scary.
We're
but,
still
I mean,
new, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's new enough that we don't know what's going to happen. And I think that's what makes it kind of a very brave career choice.
Yeah.
I mean, anything is a brave choice. Being alive is a brave choice. I'm such an uplifting gal, you know? No, I think that what it is one is silliness. Like, I think silliness should is a basic human need. I think it has to be. I think adults here, adults, the ones, you know, the other ones just seem so serious about everything all the time. And nothing is that serious. It just doesn't seem possible. And I just think if we all, you go strip your life down, strip your mood, strip it down to nothing. And it's like, okay, I'm safe. I'm happy. I'm healthy. My life is very hard for no reason, but that's okay. I'm just going to get through it. I don't know. Maybe it's the meds.
Maybe they're helping. Yeah. I think one of the distinct features of being a non-sacral is that we're always tired. Like, every single day, tired. Doesn't matter if we've had good sleep. It doesn't matter if we've had a lot of alone time. I mean, there's fluctuations to the tired. It's like, I can be tired, or I can be medium tired, or I can be really, 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 really tired. But I'm always tired. There's always.
Yeah.
I'm never non-tired.
Yes.
Right?
I say that everybody's tired. If they're not tired, they're lying.
You're all tired. What is this, like, waking up in the morning?
If you're not tired,
energy?
I don't believe you. I no longer trust you. If you're not exhausted, I don't believe a word that I don't believe it. That can't be right.
This is a typical part of our daily experience for 30% of the population. And
oh my gosh.
We're taught so repeatedly that something is wrong with you if you're tired, right? Like, there's something going wrong with your body, or you're working too much, or you're stressed, or you're not fit, or you're overweight, or whatever. There's something wrong with your sleep. But I think that bringing just this easy, light awareness to, like, do you know what? Life is actually incredibly difficult, mostly just because I'm tired. And I can be tired. And
relatable.
Right? Like, I can be tired and writing a book, or I can be tired and doing speaking tours, I can be tired and working full time, but I'm gonna be tired however I approach it. And there's so much freedom I find in just acknowledging how shit that can be sometimes. Like,
yeah,
it sucks,
I mean,
to be tired.
I think it's like, life is really hard. And a lot of that is exhaustion, but I mean, a lot of the things I say and try to spread the message is just like, it's hard, in case nobody's told you lately, like, it's hard. And there's nothing wrong with you or me, or you know, it is what it is. Life is just hard. And also a lot of that fix it culture, a lot of that like do this, do this, do that, is, I mean, it's just money. If there's nothing wrong with you, you can't make anybody any money. So, it's not as profitable.
Correct.
If you just accept that you're okay, you're no longer useful to the money making machine.
Yes. Oh my gosh, the capitalism rabbit hole, right? Like,
yeah, it's
if
like,
you
if
always
you don't
believe that you're not okay, then you're always spending money on somebody who's telling you how to get okay.
Yep. 1,000%. But still buy my book. But
because it's really going to help you, it's going to make you okay.
I help in the way that you just feel normal. Because what is normal? Nothing.
Yeah.
Not a real thing, but you just grow up your whole life thinking there's a right way to do things and there's a right way to be and there's a right way to feel, and it's very hard to learn that that's not true. And that's what you'll get out of the book.
Yeah, and you've created, I mean, in reality, like, you've actually created this kind of beautiful almost like cult community off that, where, you know, it's not just like whatever, like influencer status. I've seen people, the way that they engage at your events, people who are like, this is, I'm meeting my newest best friends at these events. Like, these are people who are genuinely forming important relationships and connections that give them access to healing and recovery and support. And
100%.
That's very real.
Yes. And I, when I think of what's changed in the last year or two, the thing that's changed now, not even a year since May, is that I've met a lot of these people in real life. And it's taken the whole thing to a very different feeling, because it's, the internet was cool and the comments are cool and people being nice is fun. But seeing people in real life in the way that they react to what I'm doing, I've never felt more proud of these people. I'm really proud that there's that many people out there willing to listen to me talk about going against everything the world wants you to do, pretty much. I want you to be happy with who you are and where you're at and what you have. And sit still and stop producing so much. Like, we don't need more. We don't need anybody to produce anything else. Like, we are good.
I agree. I think we're in overflow right now, guys. Like, maybe a bit less. Less is more now.
Yeah, I know, like, I'm willing to learn these things and to slow down and have less and do less and be less. But it's a lot to see people saying, you've changed my life. I finally have slowed down. I finally walked away from that thing that was making me miserable. I finally walked away or I finally told someone how I felt. And I'm so proud of how brave people are to come into my space, because it's not the norm. And I get that feedback too from every theater I go to. The staff is like, these people, like, the people who came to your show are amazing. They're the nicest. They tip well, you know, just like in general, they're just like, oh my gosh, they're so respectful and just like not what we're used to, because I'm performing in so many comedy clubs, and no shade to any comedians, but I think they produce a rowdier crowd maybe. And yeah, I'm this, the group, the community that I have is, I don't have enough words to say how amazing they are and how amazing it is that I'm the person that facilitated this and that they're a reflection of me.
Yeah.
I can't quite see myself that way, but I should be able to see that those everyone coming to see me and meet me and be around me and go on vacation with me and buy my book are a reflection of me. I don't know how to process that, really. You know, I do not know. The gravity of that feels so big.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the beauty of doing the courageous thing of being willing to show just your authentic self. And like,
how tired everybody is and how much people just want to slow down. And maybe all they needed was a little permission.
Correct.
I could quit tomorrow. Because this just happened to me. My mom called me the other day and she's finally retired. This is her second try at retiring. We'll see. And she said, I'm struggling with slowing down. She goes, you know me, like this is not normal for me. But then she said, but I'm doing better because of you.
Oh, wow.
Just, you know, having been around me for the last few years and being in my space and watching me respect my own boundaries and watching me, you know, actually saying the way that I feel in conversations with family and actually, you know, providing counterpoints in real life to people. Yeah. That's the other thing. It's like, I bring all of this to my real life and that like offering alternatives for being the busiest person in the room. And to know that like, even the people who you think I could really never help, to know like my mom, I was like, oh no, she'll just be going 3,000 miles an hour till the end. And to hear her say she's slowing down because of me is like, I hope you enjoy yourself. That sounds fun.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's really, really cool. Because I think so many of us that work online get this kind of weird disassociation where like we have an impact on all of these people all around the world. But then the people who are closest to us in our real life, it's like, well, that's your vocation. That's your business. That's what you do. And I'm like,
yes.
No, it is actually, it's who I am. And I want to impact you too, if you're open to it.
It's like you were saying about like, what's my mission or whatever, or what's my strategy, like, and that I don't have one. It's that I am just living my life. I am just living my life in front of you. And yeah, I'm making up skits and being loud and but none of it isn't me. And I've gotten that feedback from close friends, like high school girlfriends who I've known for 25 years now. And they're like, oh, that's just you. And now I'm a bit different in that. But I'm not putting on a show. I mean, I am at my show.
But, except when I'm at the show. That's a show. But every other time, it's not a show.
But even there, I'm not putting on a show. You know, I'm just talking. I'm telling a story. I'm telling stories. I'm just kind of existing for an hour in front of you and telling you some about my life. It is not, there's no singing, there's no dancing. Well, you know, I don't have any talents. So that's the first line of the show. I say every time I have to get up here, I wish that I had a tangible talent that wasn't just being mentally ill.
I'm sorry, everybody. This is what you're receiving tonight. The beauty of this is that there is so much normalization around things like mental illness, right? Like that's, and I'm talking about the whole gamut. Like essentially it's the ways that life being challenging has impacted you, whether that is because you now have issues with like depressive episodes, whether you have other mental illnesses, whether you've got trauma or post-traumatic stress or whatever it is. Like, I think we still have such a segregation of that stuff. Like, oh, you need to get that treated, right? Like, again, very serious. Like, you take that and you get that treated as though it's a separate part of yourself. But in reality, pretty much all of us are experiencing some level of mental illness now. Whether it's anxiety or depression or like psychotic episodes, whatever it is, there's a whole range. We're all experiencing it. And to normalize that and be like, this,
yes,
we can live with this for the rest of our lives and actually be okay with it.
Yeah. And so I never really thought about that, but it is, it's like, not to say it's not serious, because of course it's so serious.
Of course.
But like, I mean, I meet with my psychiatrist. I do my little jokey jokes. I talk to her just like this. You're like, none of it has to be. Yeah, but I mean, that's what we're doing when we destigmatize mental health, is say, like, this is just something. Like, it's a meeting I had to have today because, you know, I don't want to throw myself off a bridge. That would be not ideal. And
not great.
I mean, like I said, like, this is just how I talk about these things in a way, you know, to just let everybody know we're trying. We don't know what we're doing. Nobody knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
The world changes way too fast now to ever know what we're doing.
Right.
I don't have a plan.
And that's looking after yourself. We were saying, listen, before we jumped on that you were like, oh, I'm pretty good. I got some sun today. I sat out in the sun. Like, it's been sunny for 2 days. I'm feeling really good. And it really reminded me of, like, do you know what? We're actually all in the same boat. We're all like, oh, all right. I know that my mental health is better when I get vitamin D, when I sleep, when I eat correctly, when I exercise. Ugh, like, I have to go for a stupid walk for my stupid mental health, because if I don't go for a stupid walk for my stupid mental health, then I'm going to feel depressed for the next 2 weeks, right? Like,
yeah,
but this is, it doesn't have to be a big clinical thing. I think we're moving towards that as a society.
Yes. That's why I call depression big sads. Sad girls are rad girls, you know, like, you got to make it fun.
Yeah.
Meds are cool.
Meds living through can science. Make you feel good.
Yeah. And I think that's really hard, because even me, and I started my mental health journey at 19. So it's been 17 years. And I'm still like a pretty medication resistant person. And even though I know I feel like a million more bucks than usual when I am on an antidepressant, I still fight it. You know, I still am like, maybe I could not be medicated and be fine. It's like, no, I can't. And that's okay. But it's so ingrained in there to be like, I should be able to do it on my own. Like, why? Why?
Yeah.
If for $5 a month, you could do it with help.
Correct. Yeah. And right, that help is going to look completely different for everyone. But it's just, it's the whole principle of, like, why? Why am I doing this secretly, independently, on my own, as though I'm broken and something is horribly, horribly wrong with me? Like, no, I'm actually just like everybody else. I'm bringing my own authenticity to it, but I'm just like everybody else. And I think the more that we can, like, speak about that with just freaking normal language, like, whether that's when people say, how are you, you know, saying, maybe I'm like 50% there.
Yeah, I'm a little bit too honest with that one. I'm always like, you know, it is so funny. Not funny at all, actually. I'm just using words that I always use. But my mom, at one point in her life, we were talking, and this was maybe like 10 years ago, and she said, it got so bad, I almost got a therapist. And I'm like, you know, yeah, you can just have a therapist for fun. Like, not for fun, but you could just have one every day. Good days, too. Yeah. You know that they're kind of fun to talk to when you're having a good day, too.
Yeah. That's, you don't need to earn that by getting right to the end of your ability to live.
Yes. She was like, I'm so depressed, I almost thought about going to therapy. Like,
oh my goodness, Emma.
Yeah, I don't, why is your mind like that? Why wouldn't you just go? Why wouldn't you just go? You don't even have to leave your house anymore.
Right? Why wouldn't I have a therapist? Why, insert whatever. Like, why wouldn't I have a coach? Why wouldn't I have a mental health practice? Why, whatever why would, it is. Like, why wouldn't I have a support system?
If something is not hurting you or anybody else and it makes your life better, besides financially, why wouldn't you do that thing? I mean, I say that and it's like, well, have you had any water today? No. Well, no. But listen.
I am trying.
But I'm considering it. I'm thinking about having some water later. So, no. No, because that stuff is so hard. It is funny to think of. But it's like, what I talked to my psychiatrist. We actually talked about this 2 years ago when I talked to my psychiatrist, and I was like, I think it would be easier to walk away from this job. And, you know, she said, what's wrong with doing the easy thing? Oh, life doesn't have to be a nightmare. I mean, it doesn't have to be more of a nightmare than it has to be. But yeah, if I ever come to a crossroad and one of those things is going to be easier and make my life better and not hurt anybody, I'm always going to pick that thing. I'm going to try to pick it.
Advocating for the easy road. I love that.
I love the easy road. I do. And I also think the easy road can just be a mental roadblock, because when people look at my life from an outside perspective and they say, you're going 1,000 miles an hour and you're doing 50,000 things, but I'm not mentally, I'm taking them all on in the easiest way that I can. I am not making any of those things harder for myself. Yeah. I'm asking for help where I need it. I don't put a lot of pressure on myself. It is going to be what it is. It's kind of like my show. My husband, another person who's observing me from the outside. But he can never understand why my show isn't memorized. Because I'm doing it a lot, right? And I should have it memorized. And I don't. I bring my notes with me. And it's because this is already the scariest thing in the world for me. Getting up on the stage and saying words is the scariest thing in the world for me. I didn't know I had stage fright because I've never been on a stage, but I do.
Turns out I have that.
I am sweating. I am shaking. And it's just, I will eventually memorize it if I do it enough times, but I've only had 6 shows or whatever, right? So, but it's an example of, yes, I'm doing so much, but none of it I'm not doing any of it at 1,000%, right? Because I don't have that. I only have 100%. So I can do 50 things at 2% a thing and call it a day. Because that's too much pressure. And I put pressure on myself, but not like that.
Yeah.
I focus on the things I want to do, the things that make me happy. I am not good at asking for help. I'd say that I'm getting better, but I'm probably not.
No, but just, I think that's so correct, though. That's so real. Like, it's when something is already hard for you to do, when that's already at the edges of your capacity, like, this is the biggest thing I could be doing right now, whatever that is for you, it's okay. And even good, actually, it's not just okay, it's brilliant, it's really good, it's self-loving, it's compassionate, it's supportive to do it in the easiest way possible. Like, how can I make this easier for myself? Because I'm not proving anything or winning an award by pushing myself beyond what I'm capable of doing.
Right. And your capacity
grows.
Yes. And I'm continuing even in that to like go on a stage with papers in my hand, where people are like, oh, she's like a professional, which I'm not, by the way, but I don't know when you consider yourself professional at anything, but like, yeah, she's just like up there with her paper. She's forgets where she's at 3 times a night minimally and has to be like, oh, what was I talking about? Because that is who I am, and they're there to see me. And but like anything, the book, like I said, when I did this book and I let go of the art, you know, I could have illustrated the entire book, right? Do I have the time to do that? No, so I didn't. And letting go of control of things and just saying, okay, we're going to let somebody else do that one. We're going to trust that they're going to do it right. And in my day job too, I used to be really bad at delegating. And now I might be too good at delegating. Like, I trust this team to do things. And I know that because I have now, you know, abandoned them for weeks at a time to go on the road. And, you know, I am always going to trust that I have the people around me that I want around me and they're going to help. Mm. Or it'll fail miserably and I'll feel terrible and I'll have to deal with that later.
But you know what? We'll do it together. We'll do it together.
Exactly. And maybe I'll be able to write some good content about it. But yeah.
Very likely.
Big proponent of the easy route. And not, yeah. And everyone gets hung up on, well, I don't have the time. I don't have the, and I say, it's not about anything. All you have to change is your mind and the way you're going to approach it. Like I used to approach my job, like this is life or death. If I am not the best at this, everything will end. And now I'm like, this is a job and I go get money. Yeah. And I just don't think there's any glory in burning yourself to the ground.
Beautiful message. That's like poetic. I love it. There's no glory in burning yourself to the ground. It has been delightful to catch up with you again, Anna. Let's do it again in 2 years.
So many words coming out. Yeah, two more years. Who knows? The second book. Exactly. The second book is going to be called Make Them Cringe. Also,
I like it. We are going to put all of the links and everything to not only to Anna's work, but of course to the book Keep It Up Cutie in the show notes. I'm going to be getting a copy. I'm excited for the pink bubble writing cartoon funness of
exactly
Keep It Up Cutie. and I think if anything, sort of the tone that I want to leave people with today is just you. It's good to just be you.
It's so good to just be you and be here. Pepper loves it. She's thrilled.
Anna's dog in the background, very, very excited. She's tail wagging.
She doesn't think about anything but food. That's it.
Me too.
That's a good life.
It's an excellent life.
Just most stress she gets is because I haven't fed her, you know? Be like Pepper. Just
everybody be like Pepper. Thank you so much for being here, Anna. It's been a delight. I've enjoyed the laugh and I will continue to be just a happy supporter and enjoyer of your work. So thank you for everything that you do in the world. You're incredible.
Oh, thank you so much. And thanks for having me on again.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us today in another episode of the Hunting for Purpose podcast. We so enjoy having you here, and whether you are listening to my insights or the wisdom of one of our other incredibly talented manifestor specialists, we really truly hope that you have taken away power, transformation, and wisdom about your own manifestor magnificence. Before you go and switch off, we would be so humbly grateful if you could take the time to either leave a podcast review right on the platform that you're listening to, or if you feel like it, please do a share across your social media. We love to hear how each of the episodes is impacting you, and we love to provide an opportunity for you to inform us via social media. So please share a story or a post about this episode and tag us at The Manifestor Community. Until next time, please, manifestors, keep hunting for purpose.